All right, we are on the last word, conscience, in the Bible, in the New Testament. So, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We have seen the word conscience in 2:19 of 1 Peter, 3:16, and now 3:21. Let's begin our class time with prayer, please. Lord, for this time, we ask for your guidance, your wisdom. Please open our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. Even as you did for your disciples after your resurrection, we pray that you do so for us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're looking at a very interesting verse. And this verse has been very, very difficult for believers down through the years. Let's just read verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now, there's a parenthesis that starts with the word not, that ends after the word God. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but in that parenthesis, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, parentheses are not inspired. They're not any original. That is put in there by the translators, and it actually helps us understand a little bit better what's being talked about. So you could almost read it this way, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's look at it that way when we get to that. But when you get into the context, we always have to look at the context, the verses that precede and go after it. The context itself presents us with even more difficulties. Look at verse 19. Jesus went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Oh, wow. Which sometime were disobedient. Dolores. I did not know that. Very interesting. Did you hear that? That is what the Mormons use to say. Say that again. Can you say a little bit more loud?
The Mormons use that scripture right there to prove that there is a spirit prison, and that's where you go if you're not a Mormon. And then Mormons come there and teach you about Mormonism so you can.
So you can go to glory. So, well, I am telling you that these passages, these verses are much abused. And sometimes it is hard to understand exactly what's being taught here. We're going to get into that. That's new to me as well. I've never really gone in depth on this. And let me just say right now, after studying it, both last week and this week as I've had time, we were gone Monday through Thursday. I'm like, you know what, this requires a lot more time. But I will do the best I can with the amount of time that I've been able to put into it, whether or not we'll get through it today. So, let's go back to verse 18 and go through verse 22 so that we have a context, and then we'll go back and study all of those verses leading up to verse 21. So verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Have you heard that verse used recently? Okay, all right, so you were awake, some of you were. The like figure, notice the word figure, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So, we're looking at the word or the phrase, the answer of a good conscience toward God. And to better understand that, let's go back to verse 18 and let's look at that again. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. How many times did he suffer? And once for all is what that means. The just for the unjust. Who's the just one? Who are the unjust ones? We are the those who are believing. That he, who's that? Jesus Christ, might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh. Did he really die? He did. Okay, so it's talking about that physical death in the flesh, because it's death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, you'll notice that the King James translators have put Spirit in caps. That's their interpretation. Okay? Should Spirit actually be capitalized? It's not in the original. Did you know that all, they're called uncials, in the Greek, it's all capitalized? Every word is capitalized. So is that to be capitalized? Well, some would say yes, some would say no. I don't believe it is a reference to the Holy Spirit, because in spirit is juxtaposed to in the flesh. So you've got in flesh and in spirit. Neither one of those has the article. Neither one has the word the before them. You say you're getting highly technical. You have to if you're going to interpret. Neither has the article, the word the. And both are in the same Greek case. It's called dative. Both are in the dative case. In other words, when you read it, it says in the flesh, by the Spirit. You've got the preposition in and the preposition by. Have I lost anybody? In is not in the original, and neither is the word by. It's been supplied by the translators, and rightfully so, but it's in the dative case, which can be translated in, by, and so forth. So you could really read it because they're in the same case, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit. Okay, so Spirit, in my opinion, should not be capitalized. King James translators obviously thought it was referring to the Holy Spirit. So if it's not capitalized, this would be the Spirit as when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend, not the Holy Spirit, my spirit, his human spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, he breathed his last. So it was in his spirit, therefore, that he does verse 19, because it says in verse 19, by which, referring back to spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So, I'm going to quote from Wiest, a Greek expositor, on this. He said, it is the human spirit of our Lord that is set over against his human body. It is true that our Lord was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is taught by Paul in Romans 8:11. But Peter is not teaching that truth here. He maintains the perfect contrast between our Lord's human body and our Lord's human spirit. Okay. So it was by his human spirit, verse 19, it was in his spirit that he was departed to the spirits, the ones in prison. What spirits? This is the controversy here. What spirits? What spirits are in prison? And I'm asking this rhetorically. So just think about that. What spirits is it talking about? Is it the spirits of departed humans? Is it evil spirits? And is he in spirit preaching what? Is this a second chance for people to get saved? If it is departed human spirits. You see some of the things that enter into the discussion here? That people have long debated about this. So I'm just going to try to give you some of the theories that deal with this. So here's the first theory. And I'm going to read you what some of you have the Bible Knowledge Commentary. So I'm going to read the Bible Knowledge Commentary on this. And this is what their theory is. The spirits are described in 1 Peter 3:20 as those who were disobedient when God waited patiently for Noah to finish building the ark. They had rebelled against the message of God during the 120 years the ark was being built. God declared that he would not tolerate people's wickedness forever, but would extend his patience for only 120 more years, Genesis 6:3. Since the entire human race except Noah was evil, God determined to wipe mankind from the face of the earth. The spirits referred to in 1 Peter 3:20 are probably the souls of the evil human race that existed in the days of Noah. Those spirits are now in prison awaiting the final judgment of God at the end of the age. That's one theory. What's Jesus doing in this prison? Because he departed and preached unto those spirits in prison. And what is he preaching to them? Is he giving them is this preaching the gospel? Giving them a second chance? Once somebody dies, do they have another chance? What about there? Right here. She said they're Mormon. Go back to Acts chapter 2. We saw this some time ago as we were going through the book of Acts. And it says this in 27 of chapter 2. David, it says in verse 25, was speaking of the Lord. And verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Verse 31 now as well. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Therefore, men have said the soul would have been the immaterial part of Jesus Christ, because where was his body? It was in the tomb. Okay? And so, hell here, therefore, does not refer to the grave. That's where his body is. But it's where his soul went, they say. And that passage there in Acts 2 says, the Lord will not abandon or leave behind in hell. It's Hades. So perhaps, they say, between his death and the resurrection, while his body was in the tomb, as we read in 1 Peter 3:19 here, Jesus, in his spiritual nature, went to the prison, to the spirit prison, hell, to proclaim to the disobedient his victory over all the powers of darkness and the vindication of the faith of his saints. That's Dr. Custer. So it implies that the souls of some are abandoned in hell, those who are without Christ, one day to be brought out only to be reunited with the body and cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. Verse 15. But what happens to the souls of the children of God like David? Well, they're in heaven, where they live, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, Jesus said to the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Believers absent from the body are present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. But back then, did he actually go down to the unbelievers? And why just to those who were disobedient during Noah's day? Weren't there others who had died long before Noah? And why, when he went, is he preaching just to them and not to all of those who lived and didn't listen to the prophets of God in the Old Testament? Why just to those disobedient in Noah's day? Weren't there others disobedient? Oh my, the Old Testament is full of the disobedient. So see, you've got difficulties even with that interpretation, but that's one theory. Here's another theory of who the spirits are. And this comes from Walvoord in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The pre-incarnate Christ was actually in Noah. I'm reading. Ministering through him by means of the Holy Spirit. Peter referred to the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament prophets in 1 Peter 1:11. Later, he described Noah as a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. The Spirit of Christ preached through Noah to the ungodly humans who, at the time of Peter's writing, were spirits in prison awaiting final judgment. Now, that is a really convoluted, really hard to follow interpretation. And most commentators disagree with that. Walvoord and those with him tend to go that way. So there's that second theory. Now here's another theory, and it's the third one. The spirits are angels. 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 Angelos. Angels. The spirits are angels. Well, what spirits, what angels are in prison? Are there any angels in prison? Aha. Yeah, now we're okay. Let's look up a couple of passages. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And by the way, what is the nature of angels? Our nature is flesh and blood. What's the nature of angels? Spirits. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister them for them who shall be heirs of salvation? It's speaking about angels. They're spirits. So he goes to preach to the spirits in prison. Well, let's look at some of these angels in, it doesn't say prison, but it is kind of interesting. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, when you're in chains, you're in prison. But the word used for hell here isn't the typical word for hell. It's the only time this word is used in the New Testament. Here's the Greek word, Tartarus. In fact, it's a verb. Tartarao, to those who have been tartarized, angels who have been tartarized. What is said about these angels in 2 Peter 2:4? That sinned. Angels? Sinned? What is sin? Transgression of the law. Did they transgress God's law? Yeah, there's some angels who transgress God's law. And many of them are right now. They're in Tartarus. Could those be the spirits to whom Jesus preaches in 3:19 of 1 Peter? Well, what is our relationship with angels? What is a believer's relationship with angels? And I don't want to dwell on this. This is where people like to dwell and go a whole year talking about angels, angels. No, we're not even supposed to do that. But what is our relationship with angels? Let's talk first of all about what their relationship is to us, to you and to I, and to me. Brad?
Oftentimes an angel bears a message. You know, like Gabriel would be a messenger angel. He would come and deliver a message to Daniel, like John the Baptist, or not John the Baptist, but the father of John the Baptist.
Yeah, so they sometimes bear messages. I mean, you go through the book of Acts, and we've seen where angels are speaking to people and saying, here, go next. An angel went and smacked Peter upside the head in prison. Said, get up. Chains fell off. He walked out. An angel was with him. People today talk about guardian angels, and everybody has an angel assigned to them. The Bible doesn't say that. Do angels sometimes protect us? Absolutely. Can you call that angel your guardian angel? I don't think you can. Okay. Is there a guardian angel for Israel? There actually is. There actually is, Michael. But the angel, according to Hebrews 1:14 again says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We don't even know the extent of how angels minister to us. But that's all the Bible says. Why? Because if it said more, you know what we'd be doing? We'd probably be worshiping angels. And Colossians is very, Paul is very adamant about that. People get to the point where they're starting to worship angels, and people have their little cherubs sitting on their shelf and everything else, and they're highlighting angels. No. They're ministering on God's behalf to us. Okay, so you've got angels ministering to us, but now here's the part that I want to really get to. That's their relationship with us. What is your relationship to them, therefore? Is there anything that you do that has an impact, an effect on angels? Get that noggin of thinking, what in the Bible? Is there anything where we have an influence or have some kind of a relationship to them? Janet? So they saw Elisha exercising faith.
Yeah.
That had an impact on the angels. You're on the right track. You're right. Well, I don't know if we enable them to perform, yeah. But you are on the right track in saying that they're watching. They're watching how you respond. Really? Brad. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple.
Right, and make the angels save him. The angels were there watching, but Christ knew not to tempt God that
yeah.
way. And he rebuked Satan for trying to tempt him to do wrong.
Okay. There are verses in the Bible that talk about, especially New Testament, that talk about angels watching. I'm trying to get you to think. I'm trying to get you to find verses. Okay, Janet? I believe that's people. Those are the people of who by faith in Hebrews chapter 11 did what they did. I believe when you get to chapter 12 when it says we have such a cloud of witnesses, I believe that's referring to the saints of chapter 11. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9 and you tell me if there's anything about the angels watching. Have you ever made a spectacle of yourself? My parents would say, don't make a spectacle of yourself. What does that mean? When you put yourself on display for everybody to see you, that's the word used here. What? Paul is saying, for I think that God hath set forth us the apostles. Now, that word set forth literally has the idea of those Christians who were set forth in the Roman Colosseum. See him to be killed. He has set us forth, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. Now, here's the interesting part. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. Now, we all know that, right? Is the world watching? And what's the last one? And to, go to the very last one in that verse. And to men, no, go to the last one. You got to be looking at your Bible. And to men. So you've got, we're made spectacles to the world and to men. And we understand that, don't we? We know the world's watching. I mean, we preach this all the time. We teach about this. We tell our kids about this. Your testimony, your testimony. The world's watching. The world's watching. Now, what's the middle one that y'all trying to say earlier? Angels. We're made a spectacle. The word spectacle is theatron. Can you think of any word we get in the English from theatron? Theater. This is like a Roman theater. Christians are down there on stage, or they're in the Colosseum and they're watching the Christians in the middle. And folks, that's what you are to this world and to men, but to angels as well. You mean angels are watching? Yeah, they're watching to see how you respond. Now you say, well, boy, I'm going to say, man, that really makes me think. Why haven't you been doing it about to the world and to men? Now all of a sudden you're going to start watching yourself because it says unto angels too? Well, maybe that will wake you up a little bit. But folks, our testimony is to this world and to men. But angels are watching too. Okay, now I'm going somewhere with this. Go to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. It's kind of interesting. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not cover his head. He's talking about hair here. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. See, Paul's a sexist. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. There he is. He's a sexist. And all God's people said, hey, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Hey, you don't like it? Argue with God, not with me. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of what? Because of the angels. Are angels watching? Are angels, okay, I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but are angels watching right now? Ephesians 3. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. Something is needing to be made known to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, and it's to be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Well, who are the principalities and powers? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Who are they? This is that passage we spent some time on Sunday afternoons a few months ago. Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We all know what flesh and blood is. You can see flesh and blood. You can see me. I can see you. Flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against that. We wrestle against, first word, second word, who are these? Yeah. Rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The spirit world. That's what we wrestle against. So, when you read all of that, by the way, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's across the page in my Bible, and you read 1 Peter 1:12. Yeah, you have to go back to verse 11, I'm sorry. Excuse me, you got to go back to verse 10. See, I'm trying to get context here so we can get this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See, the prophets are prophesying way ahead of time that Jesus Christ is coming, and in so doing, verse 11, searching what? or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Angels are curious about ourselves. Have angels ever experienced the saving grace of God? No. You have. How are you going to respond to it? Oh, I don't want to grieve an angel. The Bible talks about grieving God. I am not in a business of watching out for angels so that I don't offend them. I'm in the business of making sure I don't offend God. The angels will therefore note there's somebody who's living for God. Wow. You know, I can imagine when Paul was put to death, all the angels were watching. What's he going to do? And he's a martyr. I can imagine when Stephen was being stoned, the angels were watching. But who's Stephen concerned about? I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. But boy, do angels clap? I don't know. But I can imagine that that had to have been something for them watching. So, I've gone through quite a bit here to try to go back to 1 Peter 3. This is why it takes me so long to get through a passage. But don't you see how interesting this is? Okay, Paul. They have. I don't know. I don't think that was written until centuries later by some guy by the name of Handel, I think. But maybe so. Maybe that's where Handel got it. Okay, so now, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Who are the spirits in prison? I'm just kind of curious to see what you are now thinking. We got three theories that they're people who've died, that this is the Spirit of God preaching through Noah, and that these are evil spirits because they're the ones in prison. Is God interested in showing them something? Could be. So which do you think it is? And you're not going to be held to this. You don't get points for this. I'm just kind of curious, where are you? But everybody's got to make a decision right now. Everybody's got to make a decision. So if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to point you out, okay? At least if I can remember. I want you to see, just from that short time we spent on this, which do you incline toward? Okay. Are these those who disobeyed in Noah's day in hell, prison, and Jesus went to preach to them? That's your inclination. Raise your hand. Okay. Hands down. Good. This is Noah when he preached to those people through the Spirit of Christ in his day. Okay, these are evil spirits who are now in prison. Okay, all right. Pastor, which one is it? I don't know. I don't. My inclination is the last one. But I honestly, I cannot come to a conclusion and say, and if you know what, you say, well, that's crazy that you can't come to a conclusion. You're in good company. Most commentators give their inclination, and then they say, but it could be this too. Could be that also. So why did you go through that? Because someday you're going to be confronted with that question. But I'll tell you what we know it is not. It is not Jesus Christ going to hell and giving somebody a second chance. Amen. It is absolutely not. That is heretical. That is so against Scripture. Because as it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, it is the judgment. So you better make sure your heart is right with God today, folks. Because you don't get that second chance. You say, well, that's a gracious God. No, that's an unjust God. And God is just. Okay? So we get to verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient. Now, is that referring to the people in Noah's day? Or is that referring to the angels, the evil angels? Well, in my case, I would think it has referred to the angels. But then it says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So you say, well, that seems to refer to those people. Yeah, but there's, you can also read it the other way too. But let's get into this. Verse 20. While the ark was, I like the way the King James says it, a-preparing. While the ark was a-preparing. What is an ark? The word for ark is literally wooden box. That refers to the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, a wooden box. That refers to the ark Noah built. Same word for both. It's just, is it Noah's ark or is it the Ark of Covenant or the covenant? It's a wooden box. And so the same word is used in reference to the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant. So question, why, right up front, because it's talking about eight souls were saved by water. See here again, saved by water. But let me ask you something. Were the eight saved by the ark or by the water? This is not a trick question. It's very obvious. Was Noah and his family saved by the ark or by the water? The ark. Okay, now you're getting somewhere. Now we're going to see what this is actually talking about. When you get to the last part where it says eight souls were saved by water, there's an interesting Greek preposition, the word by. And it's not, and the word saved is even is interesting. But the word dia, by, translated here, is quite often translated on account of. In fact, that's the way, when I learned Greek, they said, when you come to dia, translate it on account of. Can it mean by? Sometimes it can. But let's translate it on account of. Let's read it again. Verse 20 of 1 Peter 3, just the last part. Eight souls were saved on account of water. Now what does that seem to be saying? Was it the water that saved them? No! They were saved in the ark because of the water. They needed to be saved. Judgment was on the earth. Water came on the earth and everybody was being killed. But those who were in the ark were saved on account of the water. Okay, so now think about that. They were not saved by the water, but because of the water. And then it says saved. The doctrine of salvation as it's treated in our statement of faith and in theology books is called, Brother Paul? Soteriology. Why soteriology? Why soteriology? If it's the doctrine of salvation, what's this soterios stuff? Sozo. Soteria is the word salvation in Greek. It's the doctrine of salvation. Okay. So sozo is the Greek word saved, used almost everywhere in the Bible. We see the word saved, it's always sozo, sozo, sozo. Here, it's sozo with a prefix. Dia sozo. Dia sozo. And it literally means to be brought safely through. Okay, now, we've got a number of things that we've already talked about that I want to now reread this. Eight souls were safely brought through on account of water. Does that make a difference? Eight souls were safely brought through, saved, on account of water. Is this helping to see what is actually being said here? That same word, dia sozo, is the same word, and I'm just giving an example. In Acts 28:4, just listen as I read, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on Paul's hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer who, though he hath escaped the sea. That phrase, hath escaped, is the same word used here for saved. though he was brought safely through the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Was Noah and his family saved by going into the ark or by going into the water? This is easy. Into the ark. What happened to those who went into the water? What happened to those who went into the ark? They were saved. Let's keep going. Those who perished were those who were in the water, not in the ark. So if you were to use these two objects, the ark and the water, as an illustration of salvation, which one is Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ the ark or is he the water? And you are saved by going into Jesus Christ, the ark. Now Peter is going to do something with what he just said in verse 20. He's going to talk about a figure, the like figure. So now he's giving us, the word figure here is antitype. In fact, that's where we get the word. It's antitapos, antitype. So the like antitype or representation whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Okay, did the water save them in verse 20? No, that's what they were saved out of. So is water going to save them in verse 21? Folks, this is an easy interpretation when you go through all the, when you look at the grammar and the words that are being used, that is hard sometimes to translate into English. That's why it takes all this discussion to get to this point. So the figure of verse 20 continues into verse 21. In verse 20, the water did not save. Rather, it was the water that the eight were saved from. They were saved from the water. So the water of Noah's day is a picture of judgment. Eight of whom were saved through it by faith. We were talking about Hebrews 11. Janet was mentioning Hebrews chapter 11. Is Noah mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as a man of faith? He was. If you look at chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. A man of faith. So the same water that baptized the world, are you ready for this? I'm a Baptist. Anybody else here a Baptist?
Amen.
Okay. when you say you're a Baptist, what mode of baptism do you practice? Immersion. Sprinkle? Pour? No, it's immersion. Why does the Bible always say baptized? Do you remember? Does anybody remember the answer? Because the King James translators were what was their religion? Anglican. And they get to the word baptize, and it literally means immerse. Well, what was one of the predominant ways of baptizing in that day? Sprinkling and pouring. Although baptism is, or immersion has never been in question. It's sprinkling and pouring where you're going, okay, that doesn't make sense. Immersion, never questioned. So, remember, they anglicized the word baptizo in order not to make a decision and say, well, this is immersion or sprinkling or pouring. Let's anglicize it. Let's just transliterate it and take the word baptizo and call it baptism. So that's what they did. So when you see the word baptize, it literally has to do with immersion. The like figure, verse 20, whereunto even immersion doth also now save us. Well, in the flood, who was immersed? The lost were immersed. Who was saved through water? On account of the water, who was saved? In the ark, those in the ark. Now, I'm just getting to the point that I need to make, but I don't have time to dig into this right now. because there's so many points I need to make. But here, I'll make this closing point. The same water that immersed, buried a world of sinners in judgment, those same waters lifted up the ark. Amen. Let me read. We're not going to see this in the morning message next Sunday morning. Let me just read about the ark and how God, what God did with the ark that Noah built. This is in Genesis chapter 7. If you try to go there, you're not going to be able to follow because I'm jumping from verse to verse. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all flesh died. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God baptized the world. Death and burial. People died, and today we have oil because they were buried. Is that right, Kathy? Yes, dinosaurs. The dinosaurs. And I wonder if we don't get some oil, some petroleum from some of those dead people too. I don't know. But we know. She's the oil lady. So you've got all the oil today because of death and burial. Well, what about resurrection? If this is baptism, where's resurrection? Who has newness of life after the flood? People who were immersed in the water or those who were in the ark? Who has newness of life? They come out and it's a brand new world. And they walk in newness of life. Okay, now that's just a teaser for next Sunday. Okay? There's newness of life for those who were in the ark. Questions or comments as we close? Brad. Unregenerate.
Not unregenerate. Unrepentant.
Oh, unrepentant.
Unrepentant.
Unrepentant believers.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can be unrepentant and be a believer. So no.
Like Hezekiah at the end of his life. That was a lesson on Wednesday night. He was lifted up with pride.
Yeah.
God was very angry with him.
Yes.
He judged his line. So their children were even going to be.
So I see what you're saying. So were some of these people believers? But didn't have faith to get into the ark?
Exactly. They were more interested in the world.
Yeah.
And what the world's perception of them than they were being obedient to God.
No, I don't believe that.
Don't think so.
I don't believe that. Okay. Larry.
What about all the mammals, all the fish, the whales, everything that's in the water? What happened to them?
Well, you can go to the fossil record and you can see so many of them. Yeah. But there are at least two of each. Swimming around in the water. Yes. I don't know. Ask Henry Morris. He probably has an answer for that one. Or Ken Ham or one of those guys. That's interesting. I've thought of that too. But. Yeah. Yeah. Well, where did Cain get his wife? See, so we can go into all that kind of stuff, you know. So, where did Cain get his wife? Sister. It was a sister. You don't see that in the Bible? That's what it was. The Bible doesn't say. That's what we infer from what the Bible does say. Yep. All right. But we can get off sidetracked on that stuff. The main thing is does baptism save you? It says, here it does. And it does. Immersion saved Noah and his family. And there's a figure of that that we use today. It's called baptism. Baptism is a figure. It's a representation. It is not the thing that saves. So, okay.